Portions of this program are pre-recorded. This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots to get to. Obviously, the anniversary of January 6th, because it is January 6th. We'll talk about what really happened on that day, the false narrative that's out there from the left. We'll talk to Jim Jordan, a U.S. representative of the great state of Ohio. We'll also have Tracy Beans on, who's breaking down the narrative on COVID-19 and Omicron. And we also are going to have campus reform in this program. Lots to get to on your Thursday. I'm feeling all right. Uh-huh. Say what? Carrie is out today. Her voice is not doing well.
Seems I got the hell.
Kay is in for Carrie. Good to see Kay. Sam is out. CJ's every in for Sam. Hello, CJ. Polo, of course, along for the ride as always.
Imprisoned by the way.
What we do, if you're new to the program, is we sing on Thursday.
Left here on
well, I
my
do.
Own,
oh, Carrie refuses so to. We'll see if the cast of characters today want to join in. We're feeling all right because it's Thursday, almost Friday. The weekend's almost here. Let's go. Bring it.
Took the key.
Feeling all right.
Come on.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
No. That's right. Bring it down.
Yes, sir.
Feeling all right.
A little harmony for you.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Oh, man, I just nailed that. Let me just say this. I nailed that. All right, let's go. If you're not singing, if you're not enjoying your life, then you've got a problem. And that problem could be this narrative that we're getting on every topic under the sun. And it just gets so tiresome. But I love calling it out every single time. It does affect you, though, when you can't sing a little bit, breathe a little bit, have a little bit of fun, watch some TV, watch a movie, take a ride in the car, whatever you have to do. You know, today, of course, we have to look back on exactly what it was that happened on January 6th, and we'll do that. We heard a couple of ridiculous speeches today from the current occupant of the Oval Office. And actually, I hesitate to really say that, because is he really hey, Polo, is he really occupying the Oval Office? We actually lost Polo. Kay, is he really occupying the Oval Office?
No, he's not, actually, not even slightly. He hasn't been there for 27% of the time, as yeah. I recently wrote.
And not only that, I mean, the Oval Office is some virtual screen that isn't really even the Oval Office. It's some green screen. He's sitting in front of a fake window. They could put fake snow behind him so he can read the teleprompter. It's very, very strange that we even call him the president when he's clearly not running things. But he came out today and said something dumb, and he attacked his predecessor, which is what the entire thing is really about. It's about going after Donald Trump. Kamala Harris, the vice president, who, by the way, her own party, only 3% supported her in the primary. Suddenly, she's the vice president. She came out and said something even more disgusting about January 6th. So what we're going to do is we're going to tell you the truth about January 6th. We'll take your phone calls, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. You can go to joepags.com. The redesign of the website is looking great. Go there, check out the news stories that the interview with Dr. Malone is posted there, the interview with Carrie Lake is posted there, the interviews that we're doing throughout the week are there, plus other news stories that you need to know about. Sign up for the newsletter. But we're going to break down what really happened a year ago. The narrative that we've gotten from the left in this country, and when I say left, I don't just mean political left. I mean big tech. I mean big media, big Hollywood, big sports, big academia have all sold the American public a lie. And through using something called mass formation, which is basically brainwashing or gaslighting, through mass formation, they have made people believe that something, a word we never used before. Kay, you're from Wales. And you speak the Queen's English. Have you ever used the word insurrection before a year ago today?
No.
I mean, I never had. CJ, you're a young happening chick, but you're, you know, been around about 3 decades. Have you ever used the word insurrection?
No.
I'm 55. I'm old. Polo, you ever use insurrection? Are you back or not? Yeah, there you are.
Not on purpose.
Right. It could be an accident by saying insurrection. That's true. It could be just a flub of the lip. But insurrection has never been in my vocabulary, and I use words for my job. I communicate for a living. Kay writes for a living and goes on television and radio for a living. CJ is a great communicator. He's very, very intelligent. And we've never used the word before. And if you're an honest person watching or listening right now, you know damn well before a year ago, you never even heard the word. And the way they're using it is not correct anyway. Insurrection is some sort of armed attempt to take over the government. That is not what happened a year ago in the United States of America. What happened on January 6th a year ago, and you can fact check me until you're blue in the face, what I'm going to say is factually correct. What happened a year ago today is you had hundreds of thousands of people show up to hear the sitting president of the United States, also his son, also Rudy Giuliani and others, speak in Washington, D.C., near the Capitol, about a 30 to 45 minute walk to the Capitol. They were not at the Capitol. So if somebody's told you that, they weren't. They did not say, go down and attack the Capitol. In fact, Trump was still speaking when the so-called breach happened, or the insurrection happened, or the attack on our democracy. 200,000 is estimated. I've heard people estimate it higher than that. I know the left estimated it lower than that, but it was a mostly peaceful protest. It was a mostly peaceful rally and gathering, and they were there to hear the president of the United States speak. During that speech, he said, now, I know you're gonna march to the Capitol, and I want you to patriotically and peacefully let them know what you want them to do, which means you go down there and you peacefully say words like, hey, make sure the election is fair. Hey, make sure there's integrity. Hey, Trump still won. Whatever the hell you want to say, you have the First Amendment right to do so. But it wasn't an insurrection, and it certainly wasn't what the sitting office holder called it today, which was even worse. He called it an armed insurrection. I think there's something wrong with the guy. And his vice president, Kamala Harris, when she walks to the podium, she decides to make the most disgusting comparisons you're going to hear. And I've got to bring you that because it goes into this mass formation and false narrative that we're all hearing about that day for a full year now. It was a few hundred people that rioted, broke things, started a fire, were breaking windows. What they did is intolerable. I'm not okay with it. I rebuke it. I refute it. It should not have happened. The vast majority there were peacefully rallying or peacefully protesting. And by the way, when the people started going into the Capitol, they were moving barriers. There's video of this. The Capitol Police were moving barriers, allowing them to come in. Capitol Police were saying, hey, it's your right to be here. I disagree with you, but it's your right to be here. They were not stopping them. When it got violent, that's when they stepped in. The only person who died that day because of the riot that was happening at the Capitol was Ashley Babbitt. She was shot by a Capitol police officer for no reason from the four angles of the videos that I've seen. She was the one person to lose her life because of what happened there. So here's Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States today, walking up to the podium and saying something so dastardly that she should be called out by left and by right.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
I want you to understand how disgusting that is, what she just said. December 7th, 1941 was Pearl Harbor Day. The Japanese attacked our military in Hawaii and killed 2,500 service members, launching us into World War II against Japan. If you think January 6th of 2021 is in any way, shape, or form comparable to that day, you're a victim of mass formation, you're a victim of gaslighting, and you're brainwashed. September 11th, 2001. Radical Islamic terrorists boarded planes, killed people on the planes, took control of the planes, and rammed them into buildings, killing nearly 3,000 Americans. If you are making any sort of conflation, if that's a word, or comparison, or side-by-side, apple-to-apple verbiage about those days being anywhere near, I'm talking about December 7th and September 11th, anything close to what happened on January 6th, there's something wrong with you. If you don't call her out because of what she just said, there's something wrong with you. You're a victim of the narrative, a fake narrative, a false narrative, an untrue narrative, something that just isn't reality. Again, those who did the criminal acts on January 6th are facing the music. They should. Many of them being held way too long with no charges, but they should face the music. The vast majority were peacefully protesting. Then you've got Liz Cheney, who's an alleged Republican. She's not, from Wyoming. She'll be voted out soon. Who is saying that the then sitting president, Trump, didn't do anything to dissuade people from doing what they were doing at the Capitol. That's not true. She said he said nothing, he did nothing, he allowed it to happen. In fact, he wanted it to happen. Well, tweets to 87 million followers, he still had a Twitter account back then, he said, be respectful of the police, honor the police. That was at 2-something in the afternoon. Then at 3-something in the afternoon, he said, go home, stop this, time to leave now, don't do this. And then at 4-something in the afternoon, he put out a video saying the same thing, urging people to stop and to go home. Liz Cheney knows that some of you who hate Trump will just believe her. Kamala Harris knows that some of you who hate Trump will believe it was an insurrection and some sort of an assault or attack on our democracy. It wasn't. And by the way, there are two different things that happened that day that the left is trying to make you believe were assaults on our democracy. First of all, we don't live in a democracy. It's a representative republic. If it were a democracy, you and I would go to Washington and vote on every piece of legislation and everything everywhere. It doesn't work that way. We elect people to represent us. That's our republic. They go to Washington or to Tallahassee or to Albany or whatever, and they do our bidding because they're representing us. It is not a democracy. Stop falling for that false narrative, too. But the first assault they say was happening when Republicans dared challenge the electors. Keep in mind, 4 years earlier to the day, Jamie Raskin, Maxine Waters, and several other Democrats challenged the electors for Donald Trump. The only difference is they didn't have somebody on the Senate side join the challenge. Constitutionally, you can challenge the electors and the results of an election. You could challenge the peaceful transfer of power they keep on using today, too, by saying, I have a problem with these electors, here's why. Now, if you're in the House, somebody in the Senate joins you, now both bodies have to vote on whether to accept those electors. This is constitutionally sound. It's the mechanism that was put in there to make sure cheating can't happen. So that is not an assault on our democracy, which doesn't exist. It's a republic. This, in fact, is part of our republic. The second assault on our democracy was allegedly the people who are all Trump supporters who were rioting or breaching the Capitol. A, they weren't all Trump supporters. John Sullivan was in there. He's an Antifa member and a BLM member. He was there wearing Trump gear, even though he wasn't a Trump supporter, ginning up violence and ginning up the riot. But was it an assault on our democracy? Well, no. Let's say they were all Trump supporters. How stupid are they? What they did literally stopped the constitutional mechanism in place that could have had a chance of proving that he was somehow cheated out of the election. The process that was underway was stopped because of the breach and the riot. Who benefited from that stopping? Who? Well, Joe Biden did. And the Democrats did. They benefited from the upheaval, the breach, the riot, the insurrection. They benefited from it. So any lie you've heard other than what I just said, which are all facts, should be dismissed. What I just said can be fact-checked until you're blue in the face. What I just said is above reproach. What I just said is true. Now, I responded to Ted Cruz calling it a terrorist attack or something. On Twitter, I responded to that yesterday. People keep asking if I'm gonna approach the topic. Ted Cruz is a guy I support. Ted Cruz is a very good senator for Texas. Ted Cruz would have made a good president. He ran. He was second place to Donald Trump. Ted Cruz, personally, I like him. I've met his family. I consider him a friend, although we don't go do dinner together. I don't know why Ted Cruz called it a terrorist attack. I know that it was a small snippet of video that I saw, and I don't know what the context was. But if he was literally calling the riot or the breach or the criminal activity at the U.S. Capitol, a terrorist attack, I disagree with him. And when I have him on again, I'll ask him why he framed it that way, because I don't get it. So hopefully that solved any sort of questions that you've got in your brain. What I've just said about January 6th is verifiably true. what you're hearing from the left in this country and from all of those entities I mentioned, and I'll mention them again, big academia, big tech, big media, big sports, big Hollywood, are all colluding. They're all complicit with the left politically in this country, trying to make you believe something that's not true. It's not true. In fact, there was a breach of the Capitol in 2018 because I think that they were arguing about, I don't know, abortion or something stupid, and the left all lined up and said how beautiful it was and how wonderful it was. So what happened a year ago wasn't beautiful nor wonderful. The peaceful protest was, the rally was, the speeches were great. But those who were rioting or causing mayhem or doing criminal activity at the Capitol were literally, hear me clearly, check me on this, they were doing it while Trump was still speaking. Well, it's a 45-minute walk. How did they do that? If he was literally inciting the violence and telling them, go breach the Capitol, why did they do it before he finished saying it? 45 minutes away. Check me on that. Go ahead. I dare you. Call me out on anything I just said. I dare you. Because what I just said is above reproach. Your thoughts. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a lot going on, lots to get to. I just destroyed the narrative of the left when it comes to January 6th. What I said was factually true. It was above reproach, and I dare anybody to call me out on it. Anybody. Because I got to tell you, man, I'm sick and tired. And being sick is bad enough. But being sick and tired, that really goes the extra mile, to be honest with you. Sick and tired of people lying about what happened, lying about Trump, lying about what democracy is and what a republic is. And at some point in this country, we have to tell the truth. And I'm always going to be the person out front trying to tell the truth. And I'll tell the truth as I collect the facts, I will tell the truth. And that's what you just got from me. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Let me remind you about Newsmax. If you're tired of expensive bills for your cable, your satellite bill, you can cut the cord, get Newsmax TV for free. Millions of Americans are watching Newsmax. I watch Newsmax all the time. I love it. It's on all major cable systems, or get it free on streaming platforms right now. Watch Newsmax on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and more. Find Newsmax on your hub guide or search button. Newsmax also streams free on Amazon Fire, Roku, Zumo, Pluto, TiVo, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. More than 7 million have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone. I've had it for many, many years, and I use it all the time. It's a great resource and a great app to have on your phone. No subscription. Download Newsmax's app. Start watching right now. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Check out great shows with Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Rob Schmidt, Diamond and Silk, Stinchfield, and more. America's tuning into Newsmax TV, the fastest growing cable news channel out there. Hopefully you're checking it out as well. It's a source I trust. You can trust them too. Newsmax TV. It's real news for real people. Watch it today. AJ.
Big Time Motown, Joe Pags.
My brother from another mother. I've got literally 1 minute. It's all yours. Let's go.
Motown. Everything you said was true. Everybody know what happened. And that idiot so-called president and that idiot so-called VP got on there, and he up there talking about Trump was sitting behind the desk looking at everything. That man was looking when all that went on. Where was he at? Oh, he was in the basement. That's where he was. That's why he didn't know what was going on. And then all these media idiots. He's not telling the truth, people. So pay attention to what's going on. The only insurrection there was the Democrat Party that set that up because they knew it was a possibility that them dingo numbers would have been changed over because we know they cheated like a bad habit. Yes, I said it. Joe Paxton said it. I said it. They cheated like a bad habit. In my own eyes, it lied to me. In my life, I've never seen six states stop counting in the middle of a doggone election. So therefore, Motown, they know what they're doing. And they're going to keep on in Ted Cruz. I don't know why he did that.
I don't know either. I hope that he'll tell us. AJ, I got to run. I love you.
All right. Love you, man.
You know, I we'll have Ted on soon. Next, though, Jim Jordan. Yes, that's Jim Jordan. Keep it here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really glad to have this man back. He is District 4 Republican, the great state of Ohio. It's Jim Jordan. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Joe. Good to be with you.
You know, so we're looking at January 6th today, and we're getting what has been defined as mass formation from the left, from big tech, from big media, from the Democrats who are lying about what happened a year ago. And that's really, that's the best way to encapsulate it. Nobody on our side, and I'm a conservative guy, nobody has ever said we love what happened at the Capitol a year ago. We know that it was a mostly peaceful protest with hundreds of thousands of Americans showing up to peacefully make their voices heard, and then a few hundred idiots did something stupid. Why are we pretending it was anything more than that?
Because it's all about politics for the Democrats. No, you're exactly right. And I think a key point to make, and you've made this time and time again, as have I, and every Republican, I think, we've condemned the violence every single time it happened.
Right.
We condemned it on January 6th. We condemned it in the summer of 2020. But it had been nice if Democrats would be consistent, because in the summer of 2020, they said that rioters and looters were actually peaceful protesters. They said that rioters and looters who attacked law enforcement were actually peaceful protesters. They raised money to bail out those rioters and looters who actually attacked law enforcement. The vice president of the United States was helping raise funds for people who did that, who destroyed property, who did all the damage they did. That summer of 2020, Democrats were talking about reimagining policing and defunding the police. So it'd have been nice if they would have been consistent in this effort as well. Everyone has condemned the violence that took place on January 6th, and people who did wrong are being held accountable as we speak. But, you know, the Democrats, it's all about politics.
Get his book. It's called Do What You Said You Would Do. It's a great, great read, because it really does get into politics and how politicians lie. Once they get into the position, they don't do anything they said that they said they would do, and this book outs them. And I appreciate you doing that. It's Jim Jordan, District 4 Republican, great state of Ohio. I'm glad that you brought up Kamala Harris. She did. She raised money to get people out on bail who looted, who rioted, who caused violence, who burned down businesses. Today, she makes the most ridiculous comparisons, Jim, I've ever heard in my life. 2,500 military members were killed on Pearl Harbor Day. 3,000 Americans died on September 11th. One person died because of what happened at the Capitol a year ago was Ashley Babbitt. I question why she was shot. That's it. Now, again, I don't condone what happened at the Capitol. I do condone the peaceful protest that was happening down the street and the then President Trump saying peacefully go down and make your voices heard. But for Kamala Harris to make that comparison, Jim, do you really think that they're that she thinks they're comparable days? Or again, is this a way to use the narrative to really gin up some hatred for the right?
Well, yeah, I mean, who knows what the vice president, the president thing. I mean, tell me what policy area they've gotten right. Tell me what good thing they've done in the first year of their administration. So her motivation, I don't know. My hunch is it's purely political. Yeah. I tell you, the other thing that bothers me about this too is that they always, the Republicans and President Trump are trying to undermine democracy. Think about this, Joe. Every single time a Republican has been elected president this century, Democrats have objected to counting the electors.
Right.
Democrats tried for 4 years to overturn the 2016 election. Democrats spied on a presidential campaign, President Trump's campaign. Democrats did impeachment in secret based on the so-called whistleblower whose identity only Adam Schiff got to know. We didn't know, the country didn't get to know who this person was, who was trying to overturn the 2016 election. This year in Congress, this term, this congressional session, Democrats have allowed proxy voting. Democrats have closed your Capitol to the American people. Democrats have kicked Republicans off committee. Democrats have not let Republicans serve on a select committee. For the first time in American history, they did that. And they're trying to make D.C. a state. They're trying to end the Electoral College. They're trying to end the filibuster. They're trying to pack the court. They're trying to destroy executive privilege. They're trying to nationalize the elections, make it a national law, so we can't have voter ID. And just finally, the Democrats on the January 6th committee have altered evidence and lied to the American people about it. But somehow Joe Pagans and Jim Jordan and Donald Trump are trying to undermine democracy in our country? Give me a break. So that's the other thing, that the inconsistency on condemning violence and just the outright falsehoods they're talking about relative to who's trying to undermine the democracy and the norms and precedents and principles that make our country such a great place.
Yeah, Jim, I could not have said it better than you just did. You just outlined exactly what they did. I mean, let's throw in Russia collusion in the dossier. Let's throw in Adam Schiff lying and Eric Swalwell lying. And you talked about altering evidence just in this committee alone. They had a text message from you to who? Mark Meadows? And they took it out of context, chopped it off, pretended that you said something you didn't say. And their response wasn't, yeah, we altered it. We shouldn't have. That was our bad. They tried to pretend that they somehow accidentally only presented part of the text. I mean, why does that fly with anybody, Jim?
Yeah, it doesn't, because we know that Adam Schiff time and time again has misled the American people. Yeah. What the committee said is the select committee is responsible for and regrets the error. That is government speak for we got caught lying. That's what that is, because they took a text message that I had forwarded on from a respected lawyer in D.C. to the chief of staff of the president of the United States.
Right.
They took it, cut it all out, made it look like it was just one sentence, altered that sentence, put the punctuation where it wasn't at, and didn't tell anyone it was a forwarded message. So gave that to the American people. That is called altering evidence. You do that in court, boom, you're gone. You're gone. The case gone. So this, how can anyone trust anything this committee does in light of what they've already shown they're willing to do?
Just an unfortunate error. Jim Jordan, Republican, the great state of Ohio, District 4 Republican, get his book. I urge you to get Do What You Said You Would Do. Do What You Said You Would Do. Jim, is there any other reason for this January 6th commission other than trying to stop Donald Trump from running in 24?
Yeah, well, that's the main reason, but it's also to cover up any responsibility that the Speaker of the House is in charge of security on Capitol Hill. Because understand, the Speaker of the House will not let the Sergeant-at-Arms office turn over documents and communications relative to the security posture on that day. Now, why is that? We have conflicting testimony. We have the head of the Capitol Hill Police who said prior to January 6th, he asked for the National Guard to be present that day. You have the Sergeant-at-Arms who testified in front of the Senate and said, no, you didn't. So the one who said we requested the National Guard be there, that office has turned over documents and communications relative to January 6th. The one who answers directly to the Speaker of the House, the Sergeant at Arms, has not and has said, no, I disagree with what you asked for, has refused to turn over. The Speaker's office has refused to give permission for those documents to be turned over. Now, which one is it? Wonder why that's the case.
Right.
So that to me is also part of why they have this committee and why they decided to kick not kick us off. Not let Republicans serve on the committee that the minority leader had asked to be on it.
Didn't the D.C. mayor also ask for more security because she feared, and this is a very staunch Democrat, that she feared that there would be an uprising of some sort and we want to make sure people are safe, and she was turned down too?
Well, anytime you have a large crowd there, I mean, you want to have the proper security posture in place. So, everyone was concerned about it. And remember, the White House, the president, offer the National Guard. The Chief of Staff Meadows has talked about this. We offered to have the National Guard. And go back to what the Capitol Hill Police Chief testified to. He said that, when I asked the Sergeant-at-Arms office, again, the Sergeant-at-Arms office reports directly to the Speaker's office. When I asked the Sergeant-at-Arms office about having the National Guard, he said that, the Speaker's office is concerned about the optics. And that's what the disagreement is about, whether that was said or not. Well, which one fits with reality?
Yeah.
The summer of 2020, you had Democrats all across this country say, defund the police, reimagine police, peaceful protesters who were destroying property and attacking police officers. You had that message out there. Do you really think they then wanted to say, but by the way, today we want a bunch more police officers and National Guard here?
Right.
So they were concerned about the optics. That's the one that fits with reality and fits with just common sense. So that's part of what this committee is about as well, covering that making sure that information doesn't get out.
Congressman, isn't this public record? Don't we have the right to see this stuff?
Not the Speaker's office. Not the Speaker's office stuff. This is Sergeant at Arms. That's all controlled by the House Counsel, and the House Counsel answers to the Speaker.
Wow. It is U.S. Representative Jim Jordan, Republican of the great state of Ohio. The president today said it was an armed insurrection, and they keep on saying that it was an attack on democracy. First of all, we're a representative republic. There was no attack on democracy that day. Jim, I said this in a monologue that I did about a week and a half ago, and I wonder what you think about this. The simple question that I asked the American people to ponder is this: who benefited from shutting down the constitutional action you guys were taking in the House and Senate to challenge some electors. Who benefited by shutting that down? We know that this guy, John Sullivan, was an Antifa guy, a Black Lives Matter guy who pretended to be a Trump supporter. We know there are questions about an alleged Fed who was urging people to go inside and be violent. I mean, Jim, it's common sense again to say, did Donald Trump benefit by stopping the legal constitutional process, or did Biden? And did the Democrats benefit? It's simple, isn't it?
Well, yeah, well, of course, the simple answer is no one benefited. This was not good for the country
right.
to have this happen at the Capitol. No one benefited. But certainly there's no argument that somehow this was going to benefit President Trump and benefit conservatives or Republicans or anything like that. But no one benefited. So the arguments they make on that just make no sense. Again, none of this makes common sense. They're saying President Trump, who said peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard, somehow he started it. They're saying this was a threat to democracy. At the same time, they're trying to add four associate justices to the United States Supreme Court.
Right.
At the same time, they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. At the same time, they're trying to nationalize election law so that Ohio, where we have to show an ID to vote, so that you can't have that in your state law. They're trying to go directly against the Constitution, which says the time, place, and manner of elections shall be determined by the state. By the state legislature. So, I mean, it's just the more when you get into this, it just drives me nuts because they make the most ridiculous arguments. And here's the good news, though: the American people are smart.
Yeah.
They see through this BS and baloney, and they see the truth. And I think there's a big day coming, a day of reckoning coming on election day, when they're going to say, we're tired of all your crazy policies, we're tired of all your crazy rhetoric, and we're going to put Republicans back in charge.
It's selling like crazy. The book is called Do What You Said You Would Do. It's U.S. Representative Jim Jordan. Jim, can you give me just 30 seconds on what Liz Cheney's problem is? And the reason why I say that is pretty simple. She literally said that the president of the United States on January 6th did nothing to stop the violence. We know by tweets and to 87 million people, he tweeted at 2 something, go home, stop it, support the police, respect the police. At 3 something, he said, go home, stop it. At 4 something, he put out a video urging people to go home. What, does she think we'll just believe her because she said it?
I guess. I think they all think because they say it and CNN repeats it, somehow the American people believe it. But, you know, I've said many times, just because some left-wing politician says something and because the Washington Post writes an editorial about it doesn't make it true. I mean, I thank the Lord for that. So, yeah, again, the American people have common sense. And this is so fundamental. The document that started this experiment in liberty, that founded the formation of our government, the separate equal branches, and everything, the rights and everything we enjoy, it starts off with we the people.
Right.
And I trust we the people much more than politicians in D.C., much more than news anchors at CNN, and much more than editorial writers at the New York Times. So the people of this great country. And here's the other thing about it. When did people – the way it's supposed to work is the people who put their names on the ballot are the ones who are supposed to make decisions,
right.
Not these unelected people like Fauci and everything else. So I always come back to, I trust the people, and the people are seeing through the garbage and baloney that they're getting from the Democrat Party right now.
Nary a year ago, the sitting president of the United States, Joe Biden, said, we the people means the government. He literally said those words, Jim, and I think that either he believes
it
or his speechwriters believe it. But before I let you go, 2 quick ones on coronavirus, on COVID-19. Tomorrow, you're going to see the Supreme Court hear the case of OSHA that has no bearing whatsoever on giving a shot in my arm, on whether OSHA can put some sort of a policy in place. I mean, that's a simple, easy win for those of us who are against mandates, isn't it? It should be, shouldn't it?
I think so. I think the court's going to do the right thing. And I love the decision we got earlier in this week, or maybe late last week, from the federal judge, where he said there's no COVID exception in the First Amendment.
Right.
Amendment's the First Amendment. We're talking about our special forces and their religious liberty rights. So that was a great decision. I like what the former attorney general said 2 years ago when we started into this virus issue, when he said the Constitution is not suspended during a crisis. And my response to that is amen. And actually, I would argue that's when it's most important. The Constitution is most important when you got a difficult time, when you got a difficult issue. That's when it counts more than anything else. But Democrats, again, they don't care about the Constitution, and they have violated every single liberty we enjoy under the First Amendment over the last year and a half. Every single one they have come after. So let's hope the court does the right thing, I think they're going to.
Last question with U.S. Representative Jim Jordan. Get his book. It's called Do What You Said You Would Do. It's an amazing read. It really does outline that politicians should do what they said they would do. Jim has. President Trump did. And that's surprising. That really messed up. Sure with, that messed with the swamp's head. One last thing. It has to be big tech clamping down on anybody who goes outside of the coronavirus or COVID-19 narrative. You have to say vaccines are good. You can't say they're experimental. You have to say that every kid from age 2 on should be shot with 4 boosters. Yeah. And you have to say that Fauci is somehow the king of the world. If you don't say that, big tech will crack down on you. Can you guys in Congress do anything about that, Jim?
Yeah, well, we can pass them when we get back in control, which I think is going to happen. As I said earlier, I think that day is coming. When we get back in control, I think we'll pass the, you know, Section 230, get rid of their liability protection. Right. We're going to work on legislation that would get antitrust cases to the Supreme Court in an expedited way. We're going to look at a private right of action so that you, when they censor you and come after you and limit your speech on these platforms, you as a private citizen can bring a right of action. We're looking at all that legislation. But again, Joe Biden won't sign it. So we have to frame it up. We have to continue to talk. We have to look at alternatives, Getter and everything, you know, the other things that you saw with what happened with Joe Rogan and his podcast and everything else. So we have to do all those things and push back against it. But again, the American people are figuring this out. I mean, think about everything they told us. They told us it didn't come from a lab. Well, sure looks like it did. They told us that it wasn't gain of function. Well, it sure looks like it was. They told us it was only going to be 15 days. Remember that? They told us masks work. And just last week they said, well, no, they don't work. And they told us there would never – Joe Biden himself, there won't be a vaccine mandate. I mean, so everything they told us, and it's like – so the very things that these platforms went after Americans for actually turned out to be true.
Exactly, which is
kind of the great irony in all this.
It really is. You know, Facebook censored me because I interviewed Dr. Robert Malone, who's the inventor of mRNA technology. He's the patent holder, Jim, and they fact-checked me and said he's not the inventor. They kicked Marjorie Taylor Greene off the other day for citing the VAERS database, which is a CDC FDA site. So they're out of control. I hope you guys, when you get the power back, actually do this. I know that you want to. Some others in the Senate want to. Others are just saying that they would like to see it happen. That's why they should do what they said they would do. Get this book by U.S. Representative Jim Jordan. Jim, let's do it again soon. Thank you for making time today.
We will. You bet, Joe.
All right, brother.
Happy
New Year,
brother.
YouTube. Happy New Year. We're back after this. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
Great to have you here. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always a pleasure to have Jim Jordan on. We'll put that interview up on Rumble tonight. You can go to joepags.com, find the link there. Let me tell you about Super Beats. As we get older, we get tired. You know, the endurance isn't what it used to be. And you can't just fix that with taking more caffeine in sodas or coffees or even hitting those energy drinks, even hitting sugary, you know, candies and stuff. That's going to all wear off. They're going to have a big drop off afterwards. Get Super Beats. Tasty treat, these Super Beats Heart Chews. They give you the energy that you need. They're good for you, too. No more afternoon coffees or those energy drinks that I just talked about. Two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews. Add those to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without the caffeine crash, because Super Beats Heart Chews, they've got a unique clinically researched grapeseed extract that's involved in this, along with the non-GMO beets. They promote heart-healthy energy, normal blood pressure as part of your healthy lifestyle. I've had these. I think they're delicious. They give me that boost that they're talking about, and I think it'll work for you too. Join over 1 million customers, get free shipping, free returns, a 90-day money-back guarantee, and right now you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at joelovesbeats.com. Joelovesbeats.com, J-O-E, lovesbeats.com. Do it now.
This is the Joe Pag Show. The Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots to get to. If you only heard a part of my monologue last hour about the truth about January 6, 2021, posting it even as we speak over on Rumble, you can go and check it out by going to joepags.com. click on the Rumble link. You'll see all the uploads that I put on there. Already uploading that. It's not even an hour old yet, so it's hot off the presses. Go and check that out. I give you verifiable truth and fact about what happened 1 year ago today, and then I blow holes into... can you say blow holes into? Because that sounds violent. I dispel the lies of the left and the narrative that's out there. So make sure you go and check that out again. JOEPAGS.com, JoePags.com. Brand new redesign of the website. Sign up for the newsletter. Make sure you get that every day. And also, go and check out all the links to social media and the links to Rumble, which is where I upload all of my videos. I rarely upload to YouTube anymore, maybe non-political stuff, because YouTube won't let anybody see it if it's political in nature whatsoever. And generally speaking, you don't see anything that I post there anyway. They just hide everything. So it's kind of a waste of my time. But make sure you go to Rumble, subscribe to the Rumble channel, and you'll see exactly what it is that we talk about on the program, and then some. On your Thursday. Uh-huh. Say what? Carries off. K is in. CJ is in for Sam.
I got to have
Polo getting it done.
Uh-huh. Every night I have.
I'm your talk monkey.
Strangest dream. Imprisoned by the way. It could have been. Left here on my own.
Bring it to base.
So it seems. I got to leave before
Thursday, almost Friday. The weekend's almost here, so we like to sing on Thursday. And by we, I mean me. I want to hear you too. Let's go.
Ramp. Took the key. You're feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself.
No. We've got some harmony. I got harmony right here. This guy.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself.
Appreciate having you along for the ride. Talked to Carrie a little while ago. The voice is worse for wear. Doesn't have much of a voice at all today. Always glad to have Kay on. Kay has been in many, many times. How are you, Kay? You are our legal immigrant on staff, I think.
I am. I'm your token legal immigrant.
Yes,
thank
you're
you
the token.
Having me.
And Kay is from Wales, and it is a real accent. I, at one point, when I had Kay on a few times, and Carrie was out for a while her husband had COVID, and Kay was on every day, and I would say, stop it with the fake accent, and people would literally write me emails saying, you could tell it's fake, tell her not to knock it off.
Oh,
yeah.
They really?
Oh, yes, yes.
That's so rude. That's
it is rude.
So rude.
Rude, yet no. True. It's really what happened.
If you want, I'll start talking in a southern accent. Sometimes when I'm down the pub,
do you think you're talking in a southern accent right now? Because it's not.
I can do a southern accent, but I think that'll
annoy
people
you.
More
do it.
Than my...
Do it.
When you put me on the spot. When I feel like I'm from the south, and I'm hanging down the pub with my
You sound like somebody from Wales trying to do a southern accent. But Kay, we're glad you're here. I wouldn't go brilliant. And CJ, how are you doing, honey? You doing well?
Doing well. How
people
are
like,
you?
Why sexual harassment? He called her honey. This is my daughter, CJ. Knock it off. So we try to have as much family as possible around us. And then our family from Wales, who is Kay Smythe. Polo along for the ride as well. But Polo only really says sure and then gives you pop culture later. Right, Polo?
Yes, but I do have to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
If Kay is going to do a southern accent, she can't say the word pub.
Why?
Because I highly doubt somebody from the South goes to a pub.
Well, that's true. That's true. Nobody goes to the pub. Kay, that's true. There are no pubs here in America. I mean, I guess there are some that call themselves pubs, but not in Southern United States.
People in the South aren't going to a pub. They're going to go to a bar or they're going to, you know.
Hey, y'all want to go to the pub tonight? No, that's not happening.
Yeah.
I kind of like that, though. I feel like you'd get very far in Britain if you spoke like that.
If I spoke like that, I would get far in Britain? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that. But now, Paul, if you would, tell the audience what we affectionately call Kay.
The Fart Monster?
Fart Monster. Yes, Fart Monster. Which is, that just is so people can take you seriously, Kay.
Yeah, you know, I've spent my entire life really doing the work to be able to move out here to the States and become an expert writer and researcher in my field. And I get on national radio and here I am. I am the Fart Monster.
The Fart Monster.
Here to give you some news and data.
Now, CJ, how would you spell the word fought the way that Kay says it?
F-A-H-T.
Exactly right. Fought monster. See, this is why she's very smart, my daughter. All right. Lots going on. We'll have Tracy Beans at the bottom of the hour from Undercover DC. And she does great journalism. She uncovers the lie and the false narrative surrounding COVID-19 in three different aspects. Number one, the fake narrative about masking and wearing masks. Number two, do you have COVID, or did you die of COVID or with COVID? Are you in the hospital because of COVID, or you just happen to have COVID? We break that down as well. Plus, you know, the therapeutics that aren't being talked about and the vaccines and all this stuff. She breaks that down masterfully at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around for that. But a lot of people called in last hour. And CJ, I'm going to open the lines now because a lot of people want to be heard on January 6th. And I want to give them that opportunity. You can call the number 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. But I want to give you the speech that the current office holder in the Oval Office, Joe Biden, part of it anyway, that he gave today, about 3.5 minutes long. I will stop it as we go to call him out on his BS and his lies, but he goes after the previous president, which doesn't make sense. Now, Donald Trump certainly went after Obama and how he received the country from Obama, but only on policy. Never attacked the guy personally. Never attacked the guy because of who he is as a human being. Joe Biden and those who are writing these speeches literally attack Donald Trump anytime they can. The person, Donald Trump, he's a liar. He did nothing. He stoked the flames. He had a violent insurrection at his orders. I mean, this is what they do. So I'll stop it as we go. But I also want to make this mention. Somebody last night said, I wonder if Biden will be able to get through his speech tomorrow. And my answer was yes, because I believe, it's my opinion, they must inject him with adrenaline or something before he does a speech that they know that he's got to stay on script. He's reading a teleprompter. You can see he's looking off to the lower left a little bit, to the lower right as we look at him, but his lower left, to read these words. Now, reading a speech from teleprompter is not inherently bad, but when you always have to have it, or notes, or people telling you what to say, or you say things like, I'll be in trouble if I answer your question, that does start to make you wonder about the ability the person has to lead. So here's Biden, I think probably amped up on something to make sure he doesn't fall asleep in the middle of the speech, just making crap up about last year.
We didn't see a former president who had just rallied the mob to attack, sitting in the private dining room off the Oval Office in the White House, watching it all on television.
When he said that, he leaned forward as he's still looking to his lower left, our lower right. Either he couldn't see the words very well, or he thinks that it shows extra emphasis when he leans in like that. Remember, he leaned in like that before, and he goes, bah, bah, bah. He does these weird whispers, very strange, loud, annoying old man whispers. So I don't think he goes there, but this whole lean in, first of all, talking about how the president was in the executive dining quarters or something, watching it unfold, doing nothing. I outlined last hour how Trump sent out two tweets to the 87 million followers that he had, and then did a video by 4-something, 4:15, 4:17 in the afternoon. So to allege that he did nothing is not true.
And doing nothing for hours as police were assaulted, lives at risk, the nation's capital under siege.
He's a big supporter of police, by the way, now. Joe Biden, the same guy who said he was open to moving funds away from policing and into other places. He said that while he was campaigning.
This wasn't a group of tourists. This was an armed insurrection.
I got to stop you again. I don't know who's saying it's a group of tourists. There were tourists there that day because people tour the Capitol all the time. But the people that did bad things, the rioters, they're in trouble. They should be. If you committed crimes, you should be held to pay. But here's Biden, who just said it was an armed insurrection. Well, let me just play that part again so you know I'm not making it up.
This wasn't a group of tourists. This was an armed insurrection.
Okay. What were the arms? I'm not sure I understand. Again, one person was shot and killed, Ashley Babbitt. Now, did they pick up flags and poles, and did some people break things? Yeah, they should not have done that. But to call it an armed insurrection gives the vision, the visual, it gives the imagery of a group of people, hundreds if not thousands, showing up with firearms or swords or bayonets or something to take over the government. That didn't happen. Now, Ron Johnson, who's on the show all the time, the senator from Wisconsin, says there were no firearms found. Oh, that's weird. Yet the president can call it an armed insurrection, and those who are gaslighting you or forcing you through mass formation would just have you believe it. And sadly, a lot of you believe it. Stop it.
They weren't looking to uphold the will of the people. They were looking to deny the will of the people. They were looking to uphold. They weren't looking to uphold a free and fair election. They were looking to overturn one.
Which is, of course, not true. Again, there's a constitutional challenge. There's a mechanism in there for the representatives and the senators to challenge the delegates if they see fit. They were going through that process, and it was for real. The person who was harmed most by that process stopping was Donald Trump.
They were looking to save the cause of America. They were looking to subvert the Constitution.
Now, actually, the Constitution, as I just said, has a mechanism in it that the founders put in there to make sure that you can challenge an election to make sure that it was done with integrity. That challenge was happening. The subversion of the Constitution was by those who stopped doing the challenges and didn't pick them back up. They actually stopped their constitutional duty to question the integrity of the election like they were doing because of what happened on January 6th. That's when you start wondering, well, who was that guy they were yelling, Fed, Fed, Fed? They were saying that he was some federal agent who was on the wanted list and then disappeared from the wanted list. Who was that guy? And what about the one Antifa guy we know about, John Sullivan? Were there others? I mean, it'd be kind of stupid to think there weren't. And again, why were Capitol Police moving barriers and waving people in? Because the constitutional process was happening. At that time, it was stopped because of what was going on.
This isn't about being bogged down in the past.
Huh?
This is about making sure the past isn't buried. That's the only way forward. What? That's what great nations do. They don't bury the truth. They face up to it. Sounds like hyperbole, but that's the truth. They face up to it.
Sounds like hyperbole, but they do. I mean, he just skips over words now, and nobody says anything. What the hell was that?
We are a great nation. My fellow Americans, in life there's truth, and tragically there are lies. Lies conceived and spread for profit.
And they always accuse the other side of doing exactly what they're doing. You ever notice that? I'm going to stand over 3.5 minutes and lie to you and tell you that the other people are lying who are telling the truth as I'm lying about their truth.
Power. We must be absolutely clear about what is true and what is a lie.
I am. Check out my monologue,
and
Joe.
Here's the truth. The former president of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election.
What Biden just said is a lie.
He's done so because he values power over principle.
Biden values power over principle. Trump doesn't. What Biden just said is a lie.
Because he sees his own interest as more important than his country's interest, than America's interest.
It was not in Donald Trump's interest whatsoever to give up his billions and his lavish lifestyle to go and take $400,000 a year that he donated back to the government and be beaten up by people like Biden. What Biden just said is a lie.
And because his bruised ego matters more to him than our democracy or our Constitution, he can't accept he lost.
We don't have a democracy. We have a representative republic. And again, he would accept that he lost if it were clear that he lost. The problem is there are questions that people like Biden don't want answered.
Even though that's what 93 United States senators, his own attorney general, his own vice president, governors and state officials in every battleground state have all said he lost.
They haven't all said that. In fact, in Georgia, it looks like there may be a decertification of the election. Maricopa County, Arizona, cyber ninjas went through and found 50,000 questionable ballots that would turn that race for Trump over Biden. So the fact that he doesn't want the process to be done is telling. Because if the process does get done and get done legitimately, it might turn out that he's not legitimate.
That's what 81 million of you did as you voted for a new way forward.
You think this fool thinks that 81 million people really voted for him? Oh, sorry, just interjecting.
He has done what no president in American history, the history of this country, has ever, ever done. He refused to accept the results of an election and the will of the American people. While some courageous men and women in the Republican Party are standing against it, trying to uphold the principle of that party.
I guess he's talking about Liz Cheney. I don't know.
Too many others are transforming that party into something else. They seem no longer to want to be the party of Lincoln, Eisenhower, Reagan, the Bushes. But whatever my other disagreements are with Republicans who support the rule of law and not the rule of a single man, I will always seek to work together with them.
Owen, is he seeking to work together with them on the Voting Rights Act that he's pushing? Is he seeking to work with them on the Build Back Better? Is he seeking to work with them on the filibuster? What he just said is verified as a lie. Hold on a second. Lie. I should have done that the whole time.
Find shared solutions where possible. Because if we have a shared belief in democracy, then anything is possible. Anything.
Yeah, including you somehow getting 81 million votes. There you go. Joe Biden, the office holder at the in the Oval Office, coming out and just spilling lies, spewing lies, lies that were fed to him by the collusion-filled idiots in all of those entities that I talked about, media, big tech, big Hollywood, big sports, big academia. They tell him what to say. They tell him what to think. They put it in the prompter, and he reads it. And it doesn't matter to him if it's a lie or not, because he's a corrupt, racist piece of garbage. That's mean. You can't say that with the press. Yes, I can. He's racist. I can prove it. And he's corrupt because he was the big guy with his son, Hunter, who's still selling paintings for $500,000 apiece. So your thoughts on this anniversary, your thoughts on what has been said on this program for the past hour and a half, your thoughts on reflecting on this day and how do we go forward, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. Thanks. It's the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Lots of people going to Getter. I think I'm at 210,000 now or something over on Getter, which is kind of nice. Go to GETTR.com. It's short for Get Together. So go to Getter.com. Carrie, you on Getter?
Absolutely, I'm on Getter. I think I was one of the first people to sign up, actually.
Hey, let's not lie about it. I just asked you a simple question. Now you're just making stuff up.
I'm really special, and I was one of the first people to sign up for Getter.
Find her as well, Kay Smythe, K-A-Y-S-M-Y-T-H. That is how you spell it, T-H-E, with the E at the end.
T-H-E.
Hello, it's on the screen. I spell it right there. So, yeah, go follow her, go follow me. We seem to be getting a lot of engagement there, where you don't get any engagement at all on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram even, if you happen to be somebody who's conservative or somebody who's telling the truth. Philip, I've got less than a minute, but it's all yours. Let's go.
Sure. I want to ask, they had the constitutional right to challenge the election, but yes. What was their proof?
What was their proof?
Their proof. You know, to challenge the election, there's got to be some proof.
No, there doesn't have to be any proof. Nope, there doesn't have to be any proof.
Oh, that's how they're doing it with the election as well, correct?
Well, look it up.
They're going for voters' rights.
My man, read the Constitution. It doesn't say if you have proof. No, it says you can challenge. And if you challenge the delegates or the electors and you're a representative or a senator, you get somebody from the other chamber to agree with you, then you can bring it up for a vote again. It doesn't say show the proof. Now, bring it up for another vote, you would want to show the proof so you could win. But no, you don't have any proof to challenge. There's nothing in there about that. Interesting question, but no, it doesn't exist. All right, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. When we come back, Tracy Beans on the narrative about COVID. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Love having this young lady back. She's the boss over at UncoverDC.com. She's a great journalist, good friend of mine. It's Tracy Beans. Tracy, how are you?
Hello, fellow truth seeker. How are you?
I am definitely the fellow truth seeker, and hopefully we can get some truth here. I know we'll get it from you. In the face of a narrative that has been described by Dr. Malone and others as mass formation psychosis, and that's really what it is. You've got people, I've decided, Tracy, because I often ask you and I've asked other people, do these people who are saying these things believe it, or do they know they're lying for a reason? And I think the upper echelon is lying for a reason, for power, control, and money. But I think the minions are all part of this mass formation where they truly believe the crap they're being told. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of them out there that really believe this stuff. But the problem is we're having some issues with this whole thing now. So I identified three very specific ways, and they're big ways, that they're changing this story, almost like gaslighting the entire world. So the first way is with the mask discussion.
Right.
The second way is with hospitalized with or from COVID.
Right.
And the third way is with the PCR tests.
You know, and I'm going to get into all three of those, and I appreciate you exposing them. We've talked about the mask thing, the mask game, a lot. I mean, Fauci said it would be silly if we're all wearing masks. If you've got the cruise tickets, go on the cruise. Don't worry about it. If you're socially distanced, you don't have to wear a mask. Now you've got to wear a mask if you're 100 feet away from somebody. There are people wearing masks at the beach by themselves in the water. There are people driving down the street every day wearing masks. It's so stupid, but you're right. All right. So we agree that the narrative is gaslighting or brainwashing or using mass formation on the masses. You and I agree. What bothers me the most, though, is once you lock into the one narrative, if the person giving you the narrative does a 180-degree switch, why do they still follow them? Shouldn't that at least be the wake-up call, Tracy, where they go, oh, crap, you're saying exactly the opposite of what you said 2 weeks ago, so I probably shouldn't believe you?
For a lot of people, it is, and that's the issue that they're going to be facing here in rapid fashion. You're seeing it now with the reticence to go get boosters. There's a lot of formerly fully vaccinated people that don't want to go out and get booster shots anymore. And they're like, wait a second, you're seeing this happen. It's happening. The normal people with thinking brains are starting to wake up a little bit more because they said, right, you know, wear a mask, even if it's just a cloth mask, something to put over your face, a face diaper, something with the, you know, the Gucci label on it, something designer, something right. You crocheted. Wear it out because it's going to protect you. And now we have their minions and their people out saying, you know, that's nothing more than a face decoration. That's not going to do anything. And we knew this the entire time, Joe. I mean, we've been talking about this for years. They literally weaponized school teachers against children over yes. this. It's untold amounts of damage being done to the psychological conditions of millions of people all over the world for them to just pretend as though they never said those things and now tell everybody that cloth masks and even N95, I mean, and even surgical masks don't work.
You know, it's interesting because N95 masks, I'm glad you brought those up. It's Tracy Beans. Go to uncoverdc.com where she exposes the looniness of the lack of journalism and the lack of telling the truth in our society. And she does tell the truth and she's a real journalist. But the N95 masks were in short supply. And those who were in the emergency room, we were told, needed those. So don't buy those. Don't get those because those are the ones that really work. So instead, you know, like you said, crochet yourself something that looks like a mask. Then we'll feel better as a society that you've got something over your ugly face. So was the idea, do you believe, and because of your researching and reporting on this, was the idea just to condition us to get used to seeing people with something on our faces?
The idea was to condition us to accept commands without question. Okay. It was to get us into this kind of tyranny where you must do, oh, it's just a mask, you know, whatever. It's just a mask. Big deal. Put it on. It's just a mask. That's exactly what it was for because it didn't stop there, Joe. It just kept ramping up and up and up. But it was all based around this stupid mask. The thing that got me the most was Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former chairman of former FDA
yeah.
head.
Right.
He said, we now know that this is an airborne virus and a mask will not work against an airborne virus. And I said, 2 years and now you know that COVID is an airborne virus and we're supposed to trust you when all of us somehow knew it was an airborne virus this entire time. But you're saying you just figured that out and those masks that you've been making our kids sit in at school all day and exercise in and us use to go to food shop are not going to work. And you just figured this out after 2 years and you want us to trust you about what? The answer to that is obviously they've known. But just the point in and of itself, if you're naive to it, that should be enough to make you scratch your head.
Of course it should. It's Tracy Beans. Go to uncoverdc.com. I'm trying to find a piece of video that I play of Fauci often on yes. social media, and I also play it on my show. I want to play it for you. Have you seen it? This from like 1983, something like that?
Oh, yes. I saw that one too. That's not the one I'm talking about.
I'm gonna play this for you right now, and I want you to give me a comment, because the question has to be, when you see something like this, the question has to be, why is anybody believing this guy? Why is anybody buying what it is that he has to say when we know he's been this wrong this often?
We may be starting to see, as we're seeing virtually as the months go by, other groups that can be involved, and seeing it in children is really quite disturbing.
When you say other close contact, give me some examples.
Well, for example, if the close contact of a child is a household contact, perhaps there will be a certain number of cases of individual who are just living with and in close contact with someone with AIDS or at risk of AIDS, who does not necessarily have to have intimate sexual contact or share a needle, but just the ordinary close contact that one sees in normal interpersonal relationships.
This guy, because of what he just said in the 1980s, this guy, Tracy, I believe, is the father of homophobia.
Yeah.
This guy, because of what he said, that children are going to start getting cases of this just through casual contact because they live in the same place as somebody who's infected. You don't have to have intimate sexual contact. He was wrong. I think Anthony Fauci caused Magic Johnson to retire because he was HIV positive, because Anthony Fauci was telling the world that you could get it through casual contact. We know that to not be true. This guy, again, has been telling a false narrative for four decades, and we still are told by the left via the narrative, via mass formation, that we have to believe what he says because he, in his own words, is science. Help me out here. Why do we still believe an utterance from this guy's mouth?
We don't. I mean, the normal ones of us don't anyway. And if you really want your mind to be blown, start looking into the HIV epidemic and Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, to see what actually happened there. It is a story that will blow your mind that nobody in the world, I don't think, was ready for until now. And I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point. But
back to your point. We've been buying this garbage, and you've been exposing it. I've been exposing it. Malone's been exposing it. Dr. Peter McCullough, who we just had on, is exposing it. Robert Kennedy Jr., who doesn't agree with me on anything, was on my show for two full segments to expose these lies, to expose Fauci. So again, is it just a matter of, I want to be part of that group and that herd that is following big academia, big tech, big media, big sports, big Hollywood, that are all saying the same thing? And are you and I loud enough voices to break through that?
I think we are, and we are breaking through it. And I think, you know, it was considered trendy at one point to hate the people around you that weren't doing as they were told. But as more data bears out and we go through this absolute and utter abject failure of these quote vaccines to do anything for anyone. You know, I'm constantly blown away by the people who say, I've come positive with COVID. Thankfully, my symptoms are mild. My doctor tells me it's because of my two vaccines and my boosters, and I'm so grateful for the COVID vaccine. I don't know what this would be like if I didn't have them. Exactly. You don't. It would have been worse. Maybe, it wouldn't have. Yeah. You have no way to know. Maybe you wouldn't have gotten sick at all. As a matter of fact, I point out in my column that the vaccines are proving out to be negatively efficacious overseas right now, meaning you are more likely to be infected with Omicron if you are vaccinated than unvaccinated.
Let's talk about Omicron, because Omicron showed up in South Africa. They think it might have come from Europe and somebody went to South Africa and brought it. Who knows? So the South African doctors identify this as a variant. They identify it as a variant that's very mild. You don't lose your sense of taste or smell. The symptoms are very mild in comparison to Delta, which is very deadly, and the original COVID, which was very deadly. So when I talked to Peter McCullough about this and Robert Malone, they both said this is an early Christmas present.
Yeah.
The fact that we have information that it's very, you're right, it's very contagious, but it's very mild. It's kind of like the flu, maybe even more mild than the flu. Why then did our country knee-jerk react and start lying about cases? There's one case of a guy dying of Omicron that's been publicized in the UK. He died with it. He didn't die from it.
Well,
because even the Daily Mail says he died with it.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, there is no evidence of anybody dying from Omicron.
Yep.
And of course, people did die from Delta and other variants. So why the freak out? Is this, in your opinion, and through your reporting, through fact, just another power play? Let's shut down schools in Chicago. They just did it. Let's make everybody wear a mask again. Let's get the fourth booster shot now. And Fauci can now push kids from age 2 to 15 or 2 to 12 to start getting the boosters as well. Is that – because, again, this is a good thing. If
yeah.
you have a gun to your head, you can get COVID-19, Delta, Lambda, or Omicron. Which one do you want? You have to take one of them. I'm going Omicron, obviously. Right. Go ahead. So fill me in. Is that what they're doing?
No. Now we're in the cover-up stage. So the reason why they overreacted the way they did was because they wanted to try to force people inside their homes and to stop socializing so that they could try to guarantee that fewer people would get sick with this because of the great percentage of people with vaccine, which is why you're seeing, even in that article from the UK, they're saying, oh, he didn't die from Omicron. He died with Omicron. Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, my coworker says he's Governor Oopsie. She's Governor Oopsie in New York. She just came out and said the other day, I really want to know, you know, they're testing everybody in the hospital. And I think it's important that we know the difference between somebody who is in the hospital with COVID because of COVID and somebody who is in the hospital who just incidentally tested positive for COVID. And I was sitting there like, and I wrote my article before this happened. And I'm like, well, gee, you think that's some good information to have? Maybe we should have had that information in the past 2 years. These hospitals were making bank on COVID patients.
Right.
Bank. $13,000 for every COVID patient. If you wrote COVID on a chart, you were making extra money in a hospital. Okay. So the fact check that I shared of that, them trying to disprove that, was actually more of a proof of the fact it was happening than it was a fact check against it. So it we're in la la land. I can guarantee you, Joe, I give it maybe another week. They're going to stop counting cases altogether.
Wow.
They're going to stop counting them. They can't get in front of this enough. They're going to start saying this is mild. They're not going to tell you when people do pass away of COVID in the hospital, whether they were vaccinated or unvaccinated anymore. They're starting to trend away from that. You're going to see that narrative shift completely because, I'm sorry, we've learned a lot about these vaccines. And I really am of the firm belief that we're in the midst of antibody-dependent enhancement with Omicron. So they have to change the narrative, and they're going to change it to what it always should have been, Joe. Did somebody go in there sick? Like, we never counted flu cases. We never count cases of the cold. So moving to the next topic real quick, PCR testing. The EUA for PCR testing expired on 12/31. Before it did, the CDC quietly told everybody that the PCR test couldn't diagnose the difference between a flu or COVID. Now you know why last year's flu season was completely missing. So that means we...
Nobody had the flu last year. That's true. Nobody had it. Right.
Yes, they did.
No, I know. No. Right. Officially, nobody had it because they're doing PCR tests, and the positive test might have been for the common flu, but we were calling it COVID, even if it wasn't.
And then we were treating these patients like they had COVID when they went to the hospital.
Wow.
And they had the flu. And we were giving them remdesivir and locking them in an ICU, unable to see their friends and family. ICU means intensive care unit. They were not getting any care, I can guarantee you that. ICU meant isolation unit, where you barely see anybody and you're not allowed to use your phone. Okay.
Right.
So that happened. And I have a parallel to it because when this first started happening early on, I did an analysis of the CDC's influenza-like illness data. When doctors were still testing all of these people coming in with some weird viral illness for flu, and it was coming back negative. So they were reporting that as influenza-like illness, but they couldn't say it was A, B, or whatever. It wasn't. It was COVID. The flu test wouldn't pick it up, but they stopped doing flu tests and only did PCR tests. And all of these flu cases got lumped in with supposed COVID.
Stunning.
The PCR test was never meant to detect a virus anyway. So they were using a test that was never meant to be used for what it was being used for. And now they have no tests that are realistic for COVID at all. But we do have an entire country full of people who are terrified to do anything without standing out line in the freezing cold or rain, waiting for a test for some reason, if they have a runny nose or a sniffle or they sneeze once or twice.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. It's completely nuts. It's Tracy Bean. She's the boss over at UncoverDC.com. She just published a complete story on all of this. Why are they changing the COVID narrative? It's over at UncoverDC.com. Just was put up there a day and a half, 2 days ago. And find out all of the changing narrative. Everything from masks to testing to with or from COVID. I mean, a couple of times the left did step out of line of the narrative, like Hochul just did, and you just said it. But also, there was the head health advisor or health czar or whatever in the state of Illinois early on in this, who took to the microphone at a podium and made the mistake of saying, oh, no, we're calling it a COVID case, even if they die from something else.
Right.
In other words, if it's a car accident fatality and they had COVID, we're marking it as COVID. She literally said that.
I know, and it's true. And so what's the real, quote, death count from COVID? Is it really 800,000 people? And let's say Kathy Hochul discovers that what the hospital's doing is every single day that somebody tests positive for COVID, they count as a new case because there's no way to reconcile that positive test back to a person. Are they going to retroactively go back 2 years and refine everything?
Nope.
No.
No, because that'll expose them. They can't do that. But you can do that. You and I can do that. We'll continue to do that. Tracy Beans, go and check out UncoverDC.com. Check out all the COVID resources she has there and uncovering a lot of different stories, not just COVID-19. But this was really a great expose, as usual. Tracy, we appreciate you. Come back soon.
Sure. Thanks, Joe.
We appreciate it. We're back after this. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Appreciate Tracy stopping by. Great information as always. Make sure you go to our website. It is uncoverdc.com. Uncoverdc.com. Always incredible information from Tracy and her team. And you're going to get a lot out of it. I promise you that you'll get a lot out of it because there's a lot going on that some don't want you to know about. I do want you to know about Super Beats, though. Super Beats, a great product. They had the powder that you would put in your liquid in the morning. It could be your fruit drink. It could be, I don't know, a protein shake. It could be your water. Mix it up. You drink it down. Great stuff. Give you a nice boost of energy. Well, now they've got Super Beats Heart Chews, which taste delicious. Super Beats Heart Chews are amazing. They mix non-GMO beets with grapeseed extract. And you know, well, what is extract? Don't worry about it. Just tastes great. And it's clinically shown to help your cardiovascular health. It clinically shows that people are healthier when they add this to a really good diet and an exercise plan. It also, these Super Beats Heart Chews give you that boost of energy because it restores your blood flow, restores your circulation, which is so important when it comes to energy level in your body. If you haven't gotten them yet, why not join over a million people who have? Also get free shipping right now, free returns, a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase when you go to joelovesbeats.com, joelovesbeats.com. The website, one more time, is joelovesbeats.com. Now, we've given you an action-packed couple of hours of information about January 6th. We gave you what the current office holder has said, Joe Biden. We give you the ridiculous comparisons Kamala Harris made, the vice president. When we come back, we'll have what former President Trump had to say. He did not sit on his hands today. He did respond. And by the way, he had a speech set up to do today that he canceled a couple of days ago. He decided not to do it today. And maybe that was well advised. Maybe he should have done a speech, which is interesting. But he does respond. Kay will have that when we come back. A lot of you wanted to be heard on this today. So call right now. We'll hold you over. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Or go to my website right now, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really appreciate you taking the time. We've got a lot going on. This hour, it's going to be Campus Reform. We always have a young reporter on from campusreform.org. These young journalists are exposing what's happening on college campuses, university campuses. And because today's January 6th, I actually asked him about, his name is Cole. I asked him about, well, what are they saying in school? What are they saying on campus? Are many people who are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old on college and university campus, are they walking around believing what the narrative is from the left? And I think you could probably predict what the answer is. Now, he's a young conservative guy who's out there telling the truth. So it's a really good sit down, a really good interview with Cole. Make sure you keep it right here for that. Also, former President Trump did respond to the attacks by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris today. So make sure you stick around for that. And for the first time, we really haven't had much time in this program. It's jam-packed. For the first time in the program, we will have a little bit of time for you to call in and give your thoughts on what happened on January 6th. If you'd like to call me out on the truth I told about what really happened that day, I'll hear you. I'll definitely listen to you. And that opportunity is coming up. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com, on a Thursday. Uh-huh. Grand Funk Railroad, let's go.
Seems I got to have a change in scene. 'Cause every night I have the strangest dreams. Imagine by the way things used to be.
That is Kay, she's in for Carrie. That's CJ, she's in for Sam.
So it seems.
Polo getting it done as he always does.
I got to leave before I start to scream.
Mark, Don, and Mel. Power trio from Flint, Michigan. Let's go. Feeling all right. Everybody.
Feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself. Feeling all right.
I am feeling all right, that's for sure.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Man of the Boys can sing. That's good stuff. Yes, named for the Grand Trunk Railroad in Flint, Michigan. Grand Funk Railroad, the biggest power trio in the 70s by far, in the early 70s. In fact, they sold out Shea Stadium in New York where the Mets used to play faster than the Beatles did. I kid you not. I know, right? All right, so again, the false narrative about January 6th has been out there for a full year now. It is in full... It's full-throated today. Let me just give you a few headlines of stories I'm not going to ask Kay to read because they're stupid. I'm just not, because it's just dumb, to be honest with you. But here's some of what they're saying as part of the big media narrative. We go to NPR. 1 year after the January 6th insurrection, signs of a nation deeper in peril. What? This is National Public Radio, people. You helped to pay for that crap. I'm not even kidding you. That's just stupid. CNN, Cheney said the January 6th committee looks forward to cooperation from Mike Pence and his team. That's CNN. CNET, which is just like a technology website. CNET.com says the internet is a great source of facts, but January 6th reminds us truth isn't the problem. What the hell does that mean? What? You got that for you? Plus, you've got, again, people all on the right all complaining that Ted Cruz said it was a terrorist attack or something. So we've got a lot out there, and we're making sure that we dispel it. If you have something you'd like to say about January 6th, 1 year later, like we had a guy who called, I guess he was trying to challenge me on what they were doing on January 6th. Well, they were you're saying that it's constitutional to challenge the election. Right. You could challenge the delegates. You could challenge the electors. Yes. Well, where's their proof? Well, you don't have to have proof to challenge. So if you don't think they're allowed to challenge, then you're going to have to go back and complain about Maxine Waters and Jamie Raskin and everybody else who challenged when Trump won. The problem is they didn't have somebody from the Senate to help them out. In this one, there was a viable chance that through deliberation, argument, and presentation of facts, that you could have had some delegates or some electors that were rescinded or sent back or declined. We never got there because suddenly there was a breach and a riot. So I definitely want your thoughts on what happened on January 6th. Now, we've had the guy who occupies the Oval Office now, Joe Biden, lying about an armed insurrection and an attack on our democracy and then complaining about former President Trump, sat by, did nothing, and stoked the flames and incited the riot. And then you had Kamala Harris compare it to the day Pearl Harbor was attacked and to the day, well, September 11th, where the World Trade Center and the Pentagon were attacked. She made comparisons between those 2 days and January 6th, which is disgusting to make those comparisons. Well, Trump could not say something. I mean, if we know nothing else about the guy, you've heard on my show many, many times, and they're always great interviews. He's very, very giving to my audience, and I appreciate him coming on. But if you know anything about him, the fact that he didn't do a speech today is kind of surprising. He was planning on doing it, but he canceled it 2 or 3 days ago. Maybe that was well advised. I don't know. Some of you might be thinking, well, probably smart not to say anything on January 6th. I can't really argue against that, but I would not have been mad had he made a speech. As long as what he said in the speech made sense in reflecting back on what happened a year ago. But he really couldn't not say anything. That's just not his nature. He's a guy, let me say this again, for those of you not from the Northeast and not from New York specifically, he's a guy from Jamaica, Queens, New York. My mother is from Jamaica, Queens, New York. I grew up with somebody who is from that same exact place on the map. Small place geographically, large place when it comes to the number of people who came out of there. And I'll say this knowing my mother is watching this show right now from my live video stream. And if you're not watching the live video stream, why not? Go and check it out right now. You see Kay, you see CJ, you see Polo, you see me. It's just go to joepags.com, click on Watch Live. But I'm going to say, Mom, I'm going to say this. My mother, to this day, will still argue with you about anything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't care what it is. The last time I was in Florida visiting my mom. CJ, did you know this about your grandmother?
Yes.
Good. Okay, thank you. Now my mother's really watching. Last time I was there, we went to the Greek restaurant because I love me some gyro meat. I don't get the gyro because I don't eat the pita, but I get the meat on a salad, a nice gyro salad, right? We go there, and we're waiting to get a table. And a lady looked at us funny, and my mother was ready to fight. And I'm like, Mom, calm down. We're going to have some food. What are you doing? I don't like the way this. And then her boyfriend's like, yeah, Monica, and you, oh, don't you say anything to me. She wasn't playing. So, I mean, you realize, and again, hopefully she's laughing right now, not ready to pull my hair out. But she's like 5 foot nothing. And you know, she's not in her 40s anymore. She's still ready for a fight. She's from the same place that Donald Trump is from. So I respect it. I honor it. Those from Jamaica, Queens, don't take any crap off of anybody. So Donald Trump not saying something today would have been extremely surprising. Is my mother still in the chat room? Is she mad at me now? I gotta check. Okay, I gotta check the chat room. My mom's gonna be mad at me now.
Well, I'm not surprised. You're telling all of her secrets.
Okay, can I be honest? She's kind of a pain in the ass. I gotta be honest with you. She's very quiet in there. I'm in trouble. She's not saying anything. All right, there you go. So that's really basically what I expected from Donald Trump. He would say something. I don't know specifically what he said other than the current administration calling him out would be wrong and it's horrible and trying to hide their lies. But definitely want to hear specifically what he said. And Kay, I know that you have the story. Fill me in.
I do. This is in from Fox News. January 6th, Trump hits back saying Biden trying to further divide America to distract from failures. Former President Donald Trump responded to President Biden's sharp criticism in a January 6th speech, saying his Democratic successor is trying to distract from his record. Biden used my name today to try to further divide America, Trump said in a statement. This political theater is all just a distraction for the fact that Biden has completely and totally failed. Our country no longer has borders, has completely lost control of COVID, record numbers, is no longer energy independent, inflation is rampant, our military is in chaos, and our exit or surrender from Afghanistan was perhaps the most embarrassing day in the long and distinguished history of the United States, and so much more, Trump continued. Biden, in a speech delivered Thursday morning, took several shots at Trump, saying he, quote, created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election, and that he did this because he values power over principle. He sees his own interests as more important than America's interests. His bruised ego matters no more to him than our democracy or our Constitution. In response, the former president took a shot at the House committee investigating the events of January 6, 2021, repeating his false claim that the 2020 presidential election was, quote, rigged, and the false claim statement is from Fox News. Trump concluded by claiming that Democrats want to own this day in order to, quote, stoke fears and divide America. I say let them have it, Trump said, stating that America sees through their words and actions.
And it's true. Thank you, Kay. Appreciate that. Kay is in for Kerry today. Kerry doesn't have a voice today. She'll be back soon. He's right. He's absolutely right. This is a means to stoke fear, stoke panic, and take the hearts and minds of Americans off of the high inflation, the unemployment rate, the lack of workforce participation, the malaise that we're all dealing with right now, which I have no idea how we're going to get out of it. The fact they're trying to take over elections in Congress, trying to get rid of the filibuster. These things do bother Americans. Not as much, though, as the price of meat being through the roof or the price of gasoline being through the roof. So let's blame Donald Trump for the next full year. Hopefully we won't lose the midterms as badly as we think we're gonna, and hopefully we could stop him from ever running. I saw somebody today who was a pretty smart pundit who said, and I can't think of who it was, but he said they're gonna release one report in the summertime to remind people how horrible Trump is, and then they're gonna release another report right before the election in November to remind you how bad Trump is, and don't worry about how badly we've run the country in the meantime. That's really what's going on. So your thoughts on that. The president, do you think the former president should have spoken today, actually gone out to a microphone and a camera? Or are you cool with him just saying it through a release like this? And do you appreciate what he said? I appreciate what he said because he's right. And again, keep in mind, he's from Jamaica, Queens. He was never going to just sit there and not respond and just take it. He was going to give it back. And if you go through the history of Donald Trump attacking people or lighting people up or insulting people, you will always find a history of he was attacked first and he just hit back. Even with John McCain, it's just true. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on. Lots to get to. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Because I'm getting a lot of email on it, I do want to address something. If you listen on the podcast, again, keep in mind, this is a live Monday through Friday terrestrial radio show. Terrestrial meaning it's actually on the radio. So it's a radio talk show. I don't do a podcast, but we do podcast the show afterwards. I don't do a vodcast, but the video of the show is available afterwards. Now, those who do the podcasting, they insert spots or ads, and that helps to pay for the housing of the podcast, whatever. I don't have any idea who they are that are on the actual podcast the way that they're set up right now. I am working on possibly doing it a different way, but right now, whoever it is that's advertising the podcasts, they're paying somebody else. I don't get a dime of it, and I'm not okaying the ads. There are some ads that are on there now that some of you are a little bit put off by, and I had nothing to do with it, and I actually have no say. I know it sounds weird because it's the Joe Pags Show, and yes, I do have ownership of my show, but also because of an employee of another company, they get to put the podcast up, and I want to just make it clear that I don't know a couple of things. I don't know who the local sponsors are on the individual stations or our affiliates. Those are all done by local sales, and I appreciate that people are sponsoring the show. And the podcast sponsors, I have no clue about. Some of you are writing me about who the sponsors are. I didn't know that. I'm getting to the bottom of it, and if we can't take care of that, we can take care of it, we will. But I think people are assuming that I get a say, and I'm like, yeah, that'll be a great one. And it's not. It's not something that I've approved. All right. Having said that, January 6th, 1 year later, I want to hear from you on this. Phone calls are lining up. People want to be heard. We've covered a lot of bases today. A lot of questions answered, I hope, but there are still some questions out there. Meantime, got to tell you about Superbeats. Superbeats is a great sponsor of the Joe Pags Show, and we love that Superbeats is a great sponsor. They have been for years. Now, you don't stick around as a great supplement like this if you're not doing it right. Superbeats with the powder, Superbeats with other forms, and now Superbeats Heart Chews are taking care of business. They're going to help you with your energy level. Energy level, I didn't know this before I started talking to the Superbeats people. Energy level is directly correlated to your blood flow, to your circulation. I had no idea. Your blood pressure, your cardiovascular system, all are helped by a good solid amount of nitric oxide in your, they call it the miracle molecule. Well, with Superbeats Heart Chews, they've combined non-GMO beets and grapeseed extract to give you an incredible product that you just have to take two of these in the morning. You've got great energy that's going to be throughout the day. Not a quick up and a quick down, nothing like that. It's going to be great, solid, steady energy, and you're going to love the way they taste as well. So go right now to the website they made for you because you're my listener. You have a 90-day money-back guarantee, free returns, free shipping. Right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase when you go to joelovesbeets.com. That's joelovesbeets.com. JoeLovesBeats.com. Make that happen right now. Let me go to Rod, who's in Texas. Rod, I appreciate you calling. What's happening?
Man, you're killing me. You're killing me.
I don't mean to kill you.
I got all those guys on the boats that if I don't play your show over the loudspeaker, they get mad at me.
Is that down in Corpus, Port Aransas? Where are you?
I'm right there on the intercoastal waterway all the way from Louisiana to Port Isabel.
Oh, I love it, man. That's awesome.
And a guide.
Well, everybody who's listening on the speakers, God bless you. I'm glad you made Rod do that. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, the thing I can't understand is how come we can't hold anybody accountable for all of the officers and their lives and everybody getting hurt up in the other parts of the country when the riots and Tiva and all the other the people were doing that? Why can't we hold them accountable, the congresswomen and men?
They should. No, you're absolutely right. If you're a logical person and a rational person, then you would say they're both the same. You're attacking police officers at the Capitol, you're gonna get punished. You attack police officers in the streets of Minneapolis, you should be punished. Instead, they literally let people burn down a police precinct, and you got Kamala Harris working to get people out of jail who are rioting and looting. It's nuts. Look, what you're saying is common sense. That's the problem. The left doesn't have any.
Well, the one thing is down here in Texas, I've got some friends. We had ranches next to Dolph Briscoe's in Laredo. And Beto O'Rourke and all them down there are saying all this stuff. And I've got friends that are hurt, two of the Border Patrol agents. They quit and had nervous breakdowns because they couldn't understand how Biden could do what they're doing to the United States of America.
And O'Rourke thinks he's going to be the governor of Texas. Imagine that. Rod, I appreciate you on the boat. I appreciate all the folks on the boat who want to hear the show. And I'm glad that they pushed you to do it, my friend. I'm glad to be on that loudspeaker. Beth, I've only got about 45 seconds, but I don't want to leave you hanging. What's on your mind?
Okay, I totally support the president not making his speech today because I think we all are at a loss for words of what to say today. Maybe he had some words, but we all know that you guys that are radio hosts are laying it out for him today. You're doing that heavy lifting today for him and for us. And I think it's more Election Integrity Day than it is any kind of Insurrection Day. So that's the way I look at today is Integrity Election Day.
I think that's an interesting take. Beth, thank you. Election Integrity Day. Can you imagine how mad would they be if the right or conservatives in Congress said, we propose to make January 6th voter or election integrity day? Boy, I mean, seriously, the left narrative would go nuts, man. They would go absolutely nuts. Very interesting. I appreciate that phone call. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. It's Thursday. As you know, on Thursdays, we have Campus Reform on. A great young reporter is going to fill you in on the nuttiness happening on college and university campuses. When we come back, stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. I love every Thursday because we have a young correspondent from campusreform.org. It's a great website. I go there every day. Check out the stories that they're uncovering on college and university campuses. Today, it's going to be Cole. And Cole, I think I got it right. It's Kleppner, right?
Yes, sir. You got it.
I appreciate you. He goes to school at West Virginia University. And there's just a whole lot to talk about. But we just happen to be getting together here on January 6th. It's 1 year since what the left is calling an insurrection. I think the president today called it an armed insurrection, an attack on our democracy. We had Ted Cruz, for God's sakes, yesterday call it a terrorist attack. Yeah. It wasn't. You had a massive peaceful protest, and a few hundred people went to the Capitol and acted stupidly and rioted. But I'm wondering, people in your age range, people that you go to school with, I don't know if West Virginia is mostly a liberal college, most are, but what are they saying about January 6th? What do they believe that date was a year ago?
They believe just what the news tells them it was, and that's what it is. They say they think it's an insurrection, which it absolutely was not. As someone who's actually there, not at the Capitol, but just in support of the president,
right.
He said exactly what he said. He said, we're going to peacefully and patriotically protest the decision. That's what everyone intended on doing. But it did get a little sideways there, but it was nothing to the extent of what the fake news said at all.
Well, calling it, there are two things, Cole, that, you know, the left media and this mass formation is alleging about the attack on democracy. Number one, the attack on democracy was questioning the electors. Well, that's just stupid. The Constitution says you can do that, and you have a mechanism in place to do that, and that's exactly what was going on. They were legally, just like Jamie Raskin did 4 years earlier, just like Maxine Waters did 4 years earlier. The Republicans were doing exactly what the Democrats did 4 years earlier when Trump beat Hillary Clinton. The difference was that you had Senate and House backing of these measures, so they would have had to vote on whether to accept the electors. That is legally constitutional. It is part of our democracy or representative republic. The second attack, they say, was that the breach of the Capitol happened. We know by video that Capitol Police were ushering some people in, moving barriers, telling them to go in, and some other people were ginning up violence. And then you did have people who rioted and acted stupidly. So have you ever had that conversation with somebody on your campus that believes the opposite is true? Have you ever said, well, wait a second, this actually is allowed. You can question an election. It's actually allowed to have the Senate and the House get together and maybe push another vote. Do they even know that that exists in the Constitution?
I mean, I would certainly hope so. But nowadays, it's, you know, we're pretty doubtful about our college youth just from all the indoctrination that's been going on. But I mean, you look at the 2016 election, they were questioning that election still to this day, I believe, you know,
right,
just with the whole Russia scandal. But right. Like I said, alleged. But yeah, I've had plenty of conversations. A lot of people have it very backwards, and you try to ask them, you know, good, solid reasoning as to why they believe that. And they can't come up with one. That's just because of how the news perpetuates the narrative. And it's very sickening, in my opinion.
And academia does, too. I'm guessing the professors at West Virginia aren't dissuading people from believing a lie.
For sure. Yeah, especially like the history teachers. I haven't experienced that myself, but I do have a lot of classmates that have went through that, and they've tried to, you know, express their opinion, and they get shut down immediately, and they're fearful for their grade, and they will lie, you know, on their essays, on their papers, just to try to pass the class because they're afraid of what might happen as a result of them expressing their own opinion.
That is so backward. It's Cole Kleppner, by the way, West Virginia University. He's a correspondent from campusreform.org. Go and check out that website every day. Let's get into some of these stories. A medical student somewhere wants more curriculum on abortion, more curriculum to say abortion's good, to actually say there are alternatives. What is this about?
So this comes from a four-year medical student who lives in one of the least restrictive, you know, states when it comes to abortion in the country, which is, you know, Vermont. She goes to the University of Vermont, and she's trying to push for this and push this and push this because one in four medical procedures nowadays are abortion. They feel that that should be incorporated in the training. But, you know, when you have people that are religious, that comes into question. And as a Christian myself, I think that's very sickening to try to, you know, push that. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I don't understand that, because the whole argument was that even the left wanted abortion to be rare. They only wanted it to be when it was absolutely necessary. Now it's anytime you want, anywhere you want. And if you don't say that that's okay, then you're against women and you're against reproductive rights, whatever that means. Why is it that, look, abortion is legal right now. Abortion is allowed in every state right now because of Roe v. Wade. Why do people like this student want even more? I don't get it.
I think it's just because she's in one of those states that you can have an abortion all the way up until pregnancy, I believe. And I think that they want more and more education in the curriculum. But I think I think they should take that, you know, kind of slowly, because, you know, a couple years back they got in trouble for trying to coerce a Catholic woman into trying to perform a procedure that she did not want to do, but she felt her job was at stake. So she went through with it, and they got in trouble with the DOJ.
Wow.
So that's just kind of the trend we're seeing. And they're trying to, you know, push it more and more and more until, I guess, they get in trouble for it. But that case has since been dropped ever since, you know, Biden got into office.
I find West Virginia to be reasonably red, although Manchin, who is a independent leaning this way or that way, he's a Democrat right now. Hopefully he'll change. So I haven't been to West Virginia anytime recently. I don't really know what the makeup of the state is. When you go to school, do you get to go to school? Do you have to wear a mask? Do you have to prove that you've been vaccinated? Are you doing it online? How does it work at your university?
So our university, last semester was actually pretty hectic. Our Turning Point chapter actually had to fight our SGA, our Student Government Association, for trying to put forth a resolution to try to mandate the vaccine. Luckily, we won and didn't get pushed, but we do have to wear masks within the classroom and on campus, which is kind of a bummer. But when you're looking at other places, you know, like Yale and you know, Princeton, all these other high top quality schools, you know, when they have to be locked, you know, within their dorms and can't even leave the county, you know, it's not as bad, but it's still, I think it's pretty infringement upon our rights to, you know, do what we want to do.
And Cole, I think a lot of people think that all school is in person now, and it's not. There are universities starting online, right?
Absolutely. Like I just mentioned, you know, Yale, we got Princeton. There's Cornell, for example. All these, you know, big name colleges. And I think that kind of proposes, that gives us a problem for all these other universities that are going to fall in line behind them, just to try to just follow and see, you know, what they do, just because of the huge liberal shadow that they cast upon, like, all the other colleges in America.
These are supposed to be the really smart people. Yale, Princeton, really? I mean, they're saying, again, they should know the science. They should know exactly what vaccines do and don't do. They should know what masks do and don't do. They're legitimately starting online, a lot of these people, or, you know, massive social distancing and locking people down in dorms. When somebody says, I'm a Harvard or a Yale or a Princeton graduate, you're supposed to say, wow, really smart person. But these aren't smart decisions. What gives here?
I just think it comes from, you know, the liberal administration, you know, trying to, you know, force their beliefs on the student body, and they're just trying to get as much control as they can. You know, I think that's completely sickening, because we've seen a huge spike in like a mental health crisis from COVID happening.
Right.
I mean, it was up, depression and suicide rates was up 25% at the start of the pandemic, and that's only gone up since then. So we can only, like, imagine what the actual statistics are, and especially at WVU, we don't have as strict as you know, some of these bigger colleges, but it's still having a very negative impact on our students. So we're seeing that in our Cruth Center, which is our mental health facility that students go to. The participation is only went up since then.
It's from campusreform.org. It's Cole Kleppner. Make sure you go and check out all the great stories these young correspondents do every day. I've got to ask you about this. The Supreme Court is actually the last resort, the last line of defense when it comes to our representative republic or democracy. You know what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. You've got the House, you know, comes up with a bill, especially if there's money attached to it. They pass the bill. They send it over to the Senate. The Senate either agrees or they convene and change it. Then you send it to the president, who either signs it, vetoes it, pocket vetoes it, or if it becomes a law, the Supreme Court then can take challenges to that law and say, yes, this is constitutional. No, this isn't constitutional. We agree with you. We disagree with you. They're the last line of defense when it comes to what we call freedom and liberty and a lack of restrictive government that we hope to all enjoy. Yet you've got some people that are on college campuses who are saying that the Supreme Court isn't fit for democracy. What angle could they possibly be taking if they know what I just said to be true, and it is? How is it that they could question the Supreme Court and its ability to uphold so-called democracy?
Well, I suppose they have the right to, you know, freedom of speech. But this honestly stems from the Dobbs versus Jackson case, which is, you know, challenging to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's kind of where it all stems from. But I think it's absolutely ridiculous to, you know, question the Supreme Court and say that it's not fit for democracy. Because if we look back on all the other cases that has brought this country to where it is, you know, like, the Constitution originally stated that, you know, black people were 3/5 of a person. Then from there, it went to the Dred Scott decision.
Right.
From there, went to getting the 14th Amendment, to Plessy versus Ferguson, separate but equal. And then Brown versus Board overturned that. And then we have the 19th Amendment. I just think the Supreme Court does a lot of good. And without them, we wouldn't have the freedoms split amongst different races, the genders that we have day, men and women having the same rights, everyone having the same right. Without them, we wouldn't have that.
Do you think these people at the student newspaper, and you're right, they have the right to say it. I agree. I'll fight for their right to say it. But they're wrong. They're dead wrong. And what they're spreading is misinformation. Do you think that they have any clue about what Roe v. Wade actually said? Do you think they actually read the case? Or are they growing up in a day and age where that means reproductive rights, and if you're against it, you're against women?
I think you put it perfectly. I've been to a few pro-life, marches and protests, especially, Dobbs versus Jackson. I was there, and a lot of people there, they were just there because they were screaming, "My body, my choice. That baby does not have a right to live," which I think is sickening and ridiculous. They haven't looked at what Roe v. Wade actually is, who voted on it, men. If they would have known that, I feel like they would have realized right. that it was a ridiculous, decision.
Well, you have a decision that, yes, pertained to abortion, but it was really about medical rights to privacy. The government can't tell you what you can and can't do medically. And now fast forward to 2022, and guess what, Cole? The same people who are for Roe v. Wade are also for forcing you and me to get a jab in our arm. Roe v. Wade literally could be used as the precedent for why I shouldn't have to get a vaccine. That's how dumb it is. Do you think that they've ever thought that through?
I really don't think so at all. Like, we're seeing all these backwards claims made nowadays, especially with the vaccine, all just to fit their own narrative. Like, it's so backwards. Like you just mentioned, I was about to say I would completely agree, because how can you say you're for pro-choice, but you're not for, what goes into literally my body? You can say my body, my choice when it comes to vaccines. You can't say that when it comes to a woman and her baby, because that is a completely separate being.
It's crazy, isn't it? No, you're right. It's separate DNA, separate chromosomes, and this is a separate human being that we're just allowing people to kill. And we can get into that in earnest next time even more. I appreciate you coming on. It is, again, from campusreform.org, Cole Kleppner. Cole, have you got a Twitter? Do you want to put out there an Instagram something?
I do, actually. It's Cole.Kleppner on Instagram.
All right, it's Cole, Cole.Kleppner. Go there and follow him. I really appreciate you coming on. Keep up the great work over at campusreform.org, all right?
All right, thank you so much, Joe. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Happy New Year. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots to get to. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Time for a phone call or two before we get out of here tonight. Great information, as always, from Campus Reform. If you haven't gone to campusreform.org, go and do that. These young reporters are on college campuses. Most of them are still in college. And most of them, they're known to be conservative now. So they're getting it from their professors or getting it from their classmates. The narrative on college campuses, I believe the number was 12-1 liberal to conservative professors. That's it. That's a big deal. We talk about diversity on college campuses. Maybe we should have diversity in the political persuasion of those who are teaching the young people in college. Again, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Tell you about Superbeats. Superbeats, a great sponsor, a great product. It's a product, that it's a supplement, okay? It's the simplest way to put it. But it tastes great. As you get older, you're losing your energy level because you don't make nitric oxide at the same clip as you used to when you were younger. So this helps restore your ability to make nitric oxide. That's going to help your blood flow, going to help your circulation, going to help your cardiovascular system, going to help your blood pressure, and that's good. But even better is that it tastes great. Just two of these Superbeats heart chews every day will help you to get through your day. It's non-GMO beets combined with grapeseed extract. Grapeseed extract, this has been clinically researched. It shows that it promotes heart healthy energy, normal blood pressure, part of a healthy lifestyle. Going to help you out, and it's going to taste great as well. And it's easy to, you bring them with you if you have to, in your gym bag or your purse or whatever else it happens to be. Go right now to the website they made just for you. Join over 1 million customers. Get free shipping, free returns, 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at joelovesbeats.com. joelovesbeats.com, joelovesbeats.com. Make that happen and make it happen right now. All right, let me, Kay, if you will, this story, because of the Tracy Beans interview, and then we talk about COVID restrictions on college campuses, this is a story near and dear to your heart, and I've only got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, But California is going to extend the mask mandate, I guess, through February. But you know California better than anybody else I know. They're probably just going to keep this going indefinitely. Fill me in on what you know.
California extends statewide indoor mask mandate into February. A statewide California mask mandate requiring most people to wear face masks in indoor public places has been extended and will now last through February 15th. A mandate requires people to wear a mask in indoor public locations, irrespective of whether they have been vaccinated against COVID-19. The California Department of Public Health tweeted that CDPH has extended the statewide indoor masking requirement 1 month through February 15th, 2022. Masks must be worn in all indoor public places, regardless of vaccine status.
There you go. That's what they do. I mean, in California, they're nuts. They're all just freaking nuts, man. They're absolutely out of their minds. They are. And I mean, the bottom line for me is that California is not going to stop this if they don't have to stop this. Now, let me grab Randy in San Antonio. Randy, what's on your mind? About a minute. Let's go. Hello, Randy. Come on, Randy. You know, right when I took him on the air, I could almost, come on. What are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Oh, my God. Randy, you're killing me. You got about 45 seconds. Let's go.
Okay. No, hey, I agree with what you said. I think it was great that President Trump did a press release versus going on live. And listen, I spent a career in the Marine Corps. I spent 25 years in the Marine Corps, retired many years ago. And actually, I was in attendance on January 6th last year. And obviously, it was nothing what the media is portraying. So I just want to comment. I concur with you and everybody else that he did the right thing.
Our brother, I appreciate you. Thank you. All right. Oh, I was going to take another call here, but I'm almost out of time. The bottom line is this. Learn everything you can about January 6th. Don't just take the narrative or the mass formation being pushed by the left. Their job is to stop Trump from running again. If they thought they could beat him, they wouldn't keep on trying to stop him from running again. They're trying to make it seem as though he somehow incited this, he did this. If you missed my monologue in hour number one, go to rumble.com, look for Joe Pags, or go to joepags.com and look up that video. Go check it out, spread it around as well. Let's do some pop culture. Hey! Dirty pop. Paula, what's going on?
All right, so this story actually kind of makes sense, sort of, I guess, that we have Kay on. So actress Brigitte Nielsen was, I guess, they caught with TMZ, you know, when they catch them coming out of a restaurant or whatever.
Right.
So they were asking her about this story about this father and son duo who have an OnlyFans account, and they pose nude together on their OnlyFans account. So she's
claiming... Why would they ask her about it?
I don't know. She claims it's a European thing, because I guess that's where they're from, that it's supposed to be, like, totally cool. So, since Kay's British, I don't know if that's, like...
We gotta go, Kay. Is that a British thing?
No.
That is Kay for Carrie. That is CJ for Sam. That's Polo. I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show.